You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here doing another after show for The Vampire Diaries, Season 5, Episode 6, Handle With Care. Mm-hmm. So I noticed, like, we even said, like, what? A few times when we were watching all, like, the references, like, he was saying, someone said he was Madonna, and then the gluten-free pizza and the Snooki reference. Yeah. Like, what?
I know. Like, what year is this in Vampire Land?
I know. Like, it just doesn't make sense to include, like, references from right now.
Well, for Silas, I even said while we were watching, he's so sarcastic and snarky, but he's using such modern-day terms like bestie and things like
that.
Like,
how do you pick that up?
You've been in a stone man for 2,000 years. You've been awake for maybe 6 months.
Right. It's crazy.
I don't understand how you caught on to all the slang so quickly. My mom can't catch on to the slang.
He's hip. He's down with it, you know?
He's down with it.
I feel like this week we kind of slowed down a little bit. I mean, the plot definitely was furthered, but I'm just kind of like sitting there. How'd you guys feel? Did you feel like we got a lot done?
Sorry, I just had like a realization.
What is it?
I don't know if I should say it now, but if you watched the show last week, know we thought the knife was the anchor, the knife that Matt had, and whereas it's not the anchor. Amara is, which we found out. I'm thinking she also said that not only is she immortal, but she's indestructible. I think the knife is what kills her.
That's a very good point.
But there we go.
Literally just dawned on me. I was like, we were so wrong.
Okay, for people who have no idea who we are, though, we should
That's a great point. I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, filling in for Jesse Janney tonight. He'll be back next week. And my co-host, the lovely Paige Sullivan.
Yes, hello.
Roxy Stryer.
Hello.
For those of you who don't know us, check us out on YouTube. You can call in the show at 424-256-1729. You can tweet at us.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and we can read your comments. You can comment on the show. You can download, rate, subscribe
iTunes.
On iTunes.
So find us.
Yeah. Find us.
Call me, beat me if you want to reach me. If you want to page me, it's
join
okay.
Join the discussion. We want to know what you thought of this episode and talk to us all week. Not just now, but we'd love to talk to you now. You can join the chat on the AfterBuzz TV website.
Right.
All right, guys. So let's just go ahead and get into the episode. We had Kat and Caroline sort of taking on Dr. Maxfield, which we find out his first name's Wes. Mm-hmm. And we get the whole Augustine and secret society. What do you guys make of all this?
I'm just having a hard time with, I know we go back and forth with this with new people on the show, whether they're good or bad. I don't know whether Maxfield is good or bad. I know that he tried to run Elena and Caroline out of town, but maybe he was doing it to try to help them.
That's a good point.
So now, I mean, the people who are commenting on our YouTube page, which
we
is
have
a lot
a caller,
of people.
Apparently.
I think we have
caller, you're on the line with AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries After Show.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi.
Oh, is this Sabrina?
My name? Yes, it is.
Hi.
So for those of you...
Hi.
For those of you who don't know...
We're good,
we're
thank
great.
You.
Thank you so much for calling in. For the fans who do not know, Sabrina Mayfield is playing Diane Freeman on Vampire Diaries, the head of security at Whitmore College, and we saw her... as Catherine was breaking into the secret society this evening. So thank you so much for calling in, Sabrina.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So what was it working on the show, on the Vampire Diaries set?
Amazing. Everybody from the PAs to craft services are extremely generous and kind, and I had an amazing experience there.
What about the audition process? What was that like getting onto the show?
Well, just like any other audition, you just throw it out there and then I hear I'm gone to producers, and the next thing I booked it, and it just happened so fast. So it's kind of surreal. I know it's a highly rated show, so the fact that it all happened, I'm still pinching myself.
Were you familiar with The Vampire Diaries previously, or did you, you know a little bit about it before you auditioned?
I did. I have two teenage boys, so they watch the shows, and of course, some of their friends watch it. So I kind of was familiar with the show beforehand. So it was, they thought their mom was really cool when she booked the role on the show.
Yeah, she is. Perfect.
What's one of your favorite memories from working on the set so far?
I would say the most memorable would be during one of the breaks, Candace introduced her fiance, and someone asked, "Oh, are you an actor?" And he says, "No, I play in a band." And I said, "Oh, my son plays alto sax in a band." And so I said, "Oh, do you do garage shows like my son?" And he says, "No, not really." And I said, "What's the name of your group?" And he said, "The Fray." And I'm like, "Oh, I never heard of them." So when I text my kids, they thought that I was such a dweeb because I had no idea who he was and that I embarrassed them even though they weren't there.
So you go from being the cool mom who's working on one of their favorite show sets to being the mom who didn't know one of their favorite bands. Oh, no, losing the point.
Yes.
So I'm always interested in how aspects of our childhood lead us into specific careers. What would you say from your childhood contributed to you choosing to be an actress?
Probably in fourth grade, we had our end of the year production on stage, and I had to sing with some other girls on stage, and that was such an exhilarating experience that I loved it, and I wanted more, and I didn't know exactly you can have a career out of that until high school when I went to performing arts high school and continued to nurture it. But I'd say that experience is what was most memorable and touched me and made me want to have more of that feeling on stage.
Very nice. And that's so awesome. You've been actively working, you know, as an actress, and you're also a mother, so you're very busy, I'm sure. But this, you were saying, you know, this is a hit show. Has this been a different experience than most of your other experiences, or is this similar to them?
I would say now people are coming up to me like, "Oh, my God, I saw you on TV," where before, you know, some jobs will come and go and nobody would even know. But now it's, I'm getting people who come up to me, you know, taking my voice to the barbershop or at the grocery store. Someone saw me and like, "Oh, my God, we saw you on TV." So this is quite different. Now I'm getting recognized.
So you've played a nurse and a waitress and now you're head of security. What's kind of like your dream role that you want to play?
Oh, wow. Dream role.
a lot of pressure right now. Think big.
I mean, it's just so cool being an actress because, you know, you get to be like, you know, whoever you want. Like, if you want to be a firefighter, you can go and train with them, you know, to prepare for a role. So it's just like you guys have the best job ever. You can literally be somebody else every day.
That is true. That is true. Probably a business professional and just steady good work on great shows like this would be a dream come true for me. And I think I'm kind of living that now through Diane Freeman.
And so with Diane Freeman, though, we got a little bit of you at the beginning of the season, not enough for us to really know who you were, your character.
Right.
But so, Diane, we got a larger view of who she is and what she's involved with. So I can only imagine we'll see more of you and her. But what is she... For us just watching, is she the head of the society? Does she know about that? She obviously knows about vampires. I mean, we didn't even know this society existed until tonight.
That is true. That is true. Well, that you will have to just continue to tune in and see where this all lead you?
What can you tell us about your character, though? So we do know that you are, as we keep saying, head of security. We know that you are suspicious about Elena, and it seems that it comes out tonight that you're only suspicious about her because Maxfield was. So I'm assuming that you and Maxfield have known each other for a little bit now. As being
members.
Yeah, because
we're both faculty members at the college, and you know, I just know what he tells me, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe he's wrong. We're unsure. I'm not quite sure if he knows what he's talking about, but I'm going to investigate and see if his accusations are true. So I'm staying neutral right now, and we'll see where the case takes me.
So I'm curious, though, with a character like somebody, Katsuya, who has been referenced many times before we actually saw her, she can go back and read all the scripts and watch the episodes and know about her character and kind of use that as her backstory. But for your character, who hadn't been previously referenced, how do you start making decisions when I know you guys don't get the whole season in advance? You know, you get it script by script, episode by episode. So how do you, as an actress, create your own backstory and one that works with your character?
Wow.
Did I stump you?
I put my inquisitive self in there, and, you know, I have to stay on one step ahead with having two teenage boys so that I think I'm a part-time investigator as it is. So those skills have really helped Diane do her job. So I'm on the lookout one step ahead of these kids, so... I think my own personal life is a lot like Diane.
And so, you know,
when she's at work.
We mentioned before you called in that it's really hard for us as viewers when we get introduced to a new character to decide whether or not they're good or bad. And whether or not
to trust them.
Whether or not to trust them. And so for Diane, off the bat, I kind of don't know if we should trust her. And so what do you, I mean...
Are you trustworthy?
Are you trustworthy?
Oh, wow. I think I am. I don't know what your perception will be, but...
we don't trust anyone.
We'll see where it leads us.
I mean, you are in charge of a secret society, so... I mean, you're head of security, but it seems that way. It does seem that way.
Or at least you know about the secret society enough to know that vampires exist. And usually when you're a non-vampire who knows vampires exist, our antennas go up and say, uh-oh, evil is coming. So I don't know. I don't know if we trust you. I don't know. My eye's on you.
I really do like that we have an investigator on this season of Vampire Diaries, though, because it adds that human element that we really haven't seen a lot in the show.
Is she a human?
I think she is, that she's threatened by the vampires. So I'm really excited for that element of someone to try to, you know, be investigating from the human side.
But we will be seeing your character more. Can you say that?
I hope so.
Well, we are crossing our fingers then.
We are.
We hope so, too.
I can only imagine we will after how we left things off.
Right.
Oh, great. I hope so.
Thank you so much for calling in. It means so much to us
You're welcome.
The fans. Can you give us any little tease before you leave us?
Oh, wow. Gosh. Thursday night, 8 p.m., tune in.
What a surprise. And what about, what other projects you have going on, or if people want to find you, is there a way to do that? If they want to tweet at you or social media, what do you got going on?
Yes, I'm on Twitter at srmayfield1. And, you can check me out there, and I'll keep you up to date. Or my kids will do it for me and let you know what I'm up to.
Perfect.
And all the exciting stuff. So thank you, ladies, so much for having me. It was a pleasure. You guys are so delightful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling
in. Keep watching
in.
The show.
Oh, we will.
Absolutely. All right. Have a great night. Thank you.
What a cutie pie.
Oh, she's so sweet. Amazing. Yeah.
I hope we see more of her character, because now I'm engaged in wanting to know.
Well, I think based on the plot line of this episode, we will be seeing her.
Right, and she did a fantastic job, so there's no reason to...
And I don't trust
her.
...cut
the character. Yeah.
I told her that.
as Sabrina, I trust her.
She sounds like a sweet lady.
Yes.
But as Diane,
we don't know.
Don't trust her as far as I can throw her.
What's funny about this show is, like, just you know... We're kind of on the bad side. We're on the side of the vampires, which in a normal society, maybe we wouldn't be on the side of the vampires.
Right.
We'd probably be fighting against mm-hmm. them. But in the show, we have come to love what the human enemy might be.
I would like to think if vampires existed in real life, I would give them a chance.
We all would like to think
that. Like to think that, you know? I kind of think of it, like, in my brain now, I think of vampirism as almost a race, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm like, they're just like us, you know? How can people be so prejudiced, whatever it is, but like, I don't know, because they do kill people, so...
Some of them, not all of them.
Right, you gotta give them each a chance, and every vampire is different.
I mean, if they're all as sexy and charming as Damon and Stefan, I'm on board.
Isn't that a quality of vampires, or is that just a Twilight thing? But, you know, they just are better looking than us. Humans.
Why are they just so much better looking than the humans?
Because they don't have to eat and they don't have to exercise.
They have this whole pale thing about them and bloody and fangs. It's like, that doesn't sound attractive, but oh God, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It
oh, yeah.
comes out sometimes.
Yeah, but no, I mean, this whole episode, I still don't know. I know we're on, obviously, our vampires team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then there's Tessa and the Travelers and the humans at Whitmore and Dr. Maxfield.
But Tessa's not the vampire. They're not...
What do you think about Tessa?
Like, you know, we're on our vampires team, and then you just... I don't know if I'm on Team Witch. I'm on Team Bonnie.
Well, no, I'm not on Tessa's team. I'm just saying we have these outside people. Now we have, like, a ton of different enemies.
It's,
we've got the Travelers and Tessa and the humans, and it's... What is happening?
And then there were the originals, who are a form of vampire, so we have vampire enemies too sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
you know what always happens on this show is we always become friends with the enemy and we work with them. Like in the beginning when they're first introduced.
Yeah. Well, that's what Silas said. What up, frenemies? He said something like that when he walked into the house. Like, really?
Maybe he's just down and hip.
Down?
He's DTF.
Anyway.
I wonder what he would think of that with Snooki.
I am so not okay with that reference.
Yeah, I just didn't appreciate it. But that was a Damon reference, and I was like, really, Damon? That's when you think of Jersey, that really, that's what comes to your mind. You've lived for over 1,000 years, and that's all you think of when you think of New Jersey. Snooki really did that to you? That's pathetic.
She was a force for a while. So
I love Snooki. I really do. I love Snooki, but come on.
Also, I feel like gluten-free is only a California thing.
Not anymore.
Oh, no.
Not anymore.
He's spread.
Okay, well, Pennsylvania doesn't know about it.
Oh,
because
Boston's on that team now.
New York, you should check it all out.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's believable. Those are bigger, but I feel like go a little south and no,
probably not. But, I mean, this whole episode, it was so hard to take. There were so many serious things happen and plot lines developing, but at the same time, it just felt so relaxed. Like, I wasn't nervous. Yeah. I wasn't worried.
Did you like that?
I did and I didn't. I think after these big episodes that we have had, I did like it. I knew Elena wasn't going to be killed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't think Bonnie was coming back. So nothing shocked me.
I mean, I just don't like the fact that now, for however long it lasts, we have 3 Ninas.
Oh, God.
There are 3 Ninas.
Think about how she feels.
Yeah. We saw in the predictions, Damon even says, doppelgangers are coming out of my ears.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And you guys have always been like, we're down with the doppelgangers. I stick up for the doppelganger. I stick up for the doppelganger all the time. But a doppelganger. You can't have 3 of them at one time and no flashbacks. It's all present day. 3 Ninas. I mean, come on.
And the thing is, it's not that I don't like the doppelganger idea. I love the idea that to recreate what was once a thing, you know, they keep having, I was going to say Damon's, but they're not Damon's, Stefan and Elena's or Amara and Silas being recreated. I like that concept. I like how there's only a Silas and a Stefan. But when you add that third person in, it's confusing. it's not going to last long. She's going to be killed. But
and when they're all interacting like that. Ugh.
What's funny, though, is she did such a fantastic job, Nina did, because even when we were seeing Amara, like, it did seem like she was talking way differently and acting way differently and kind of...
That's the amazing thing. There's never really a question in my mind. As much as I don't particularly like it, there's never a question in my mind. I'm like, wait, which Nina is that?
Oh,
which,
right.
No.
She kills... And
she's
same,
amazing.
Same with Paul. I'm never like, which one is that? You know, I just think... They crush it.
They do.
And they really do.
I always say, the minute Catherine walks on the screen, I'm like, oh, I love her. I don't love who Catherine is, but I just love that character.
Catherine came on tonight, and you go, she is so hot. And I was like, we just saw Elena. She's like, Catherine is so much hotter.
Because it's just... It's the way, you know, they
it's
say confidence makes you...
Yeah, I think so, too. When I really appreciate when girls have gray hair and no teeth. That's my look also. That's what I go for.
She's rocking it. But it's funny because when she's pretending to be Elena, you notice how toned down her hair is. Like, she doesn't curl it as much and her makeup's toned down. And so, but her attitude's, you know.
Imagine being an actress who plays two characters, now three, but plays two characters and is one of them pretending to be the other one. And the subtle differences between that and actually being the other one. You know, she plays Catherine pretending to be Elena. And she also plays Elena, and she also plays Catherine, and she also plays Amara, and she also plays Elena pretending to be Catherine. You know, like,
can you imagine being the script coordinator who is like, oh my god, okay, at this point she needs the gray hair,
right?
Or at this point, she, like, you got to keep everything in check.
What are you guys thinking right now? Do we think she's slowly aging and slowly dying? Because that's kind of what it seems like.
I mean, especially if they're going to have Amara on the show, which I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but if that does last. There's no way we can keep Catherine.
I don't think we're killing Catherine. I think we're killing Amara. My question is, she's asking Maxfield to help save her life. I don't really know how they'll go about that. I don't know if she can become a vampire again.
Well,
he's
brilliant.
He's a genius. But since we see what's happening to Catherine, is the same thing happening to Silas, or is Silas dead? Or is he just aging? Because what he was drained...
You mean because she just drained him?
Because she drained him of the cure. So now is he just like, you know, Catherine is? Or is he still technically a witch? Because that's not in his blood. That's just in his DNA.
I feel like he kind of ran away, though, too.
Well, they said he's lost. Like, he went somewhere. But
so I don't think she drained him.
I mean, if Catherine didn't die, then there's no way Silas is dying from being drained.
Right.
So Silas is still alive. That was question number one.
Is he aging?
Question number two, I'm not sure if he's aging because he was different than Catherine because he was immortal prior to being...
Well, technically, vampires are immortal as well. They don't die unless they're killed.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you immortal.
Oh, that's true. It just makes them live forever.
Right. So I think he's a different scenario. I don't think you can compare what he's going through and what Catherine's going through. It could be the same, but I don't think necessarily 100% that he's aging.
Well, that's my question. I just don't understand what is... We don't have an answer to what is happening to her.
I like what Roxy said when we were watching, how you were like, because we were all kind of shocked that Amara would kill Silas, but then it did make sense when you said, but then wouldn't Silas die? And then if she gets the cure, she would die too, and then they could be together.
Right. I mean, you would think that if somehow he had taken the cure and she killed him and then drank his blood and then she had the cure and then she was killed, they potentially could go to the other side together.
I think that
makes sense.
I think that's what she would want. I think also she was just tormented by what had happened to her. She said, I can't live another day.
Right. She's driven crazy.
Maybe she doesn't realize that she needs that knife to die.
Wait a second.
Or if she needs the knife to die. I'm putting it out there as if it's a fact. It's not.
I could get on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm on that too.
But if they... Okay. It doesn't seem like Silas and Amara want to go to the other side. They want to destroy the other side.
They want to be in peace. They don't want to be in purgatory, basically, which is where Bonnie is.
So, ideally, they would get to the other side, they'd get Bonnie back on the show, and then they would both destroy the other side and then both be in peace.
Well, the minute she dies, the other side's gone.
Right.
The minute...
Amara dies. Is the anchor that keeps the other side there.
But can you... Oh, you can't move anchors. I know that we could move anchors, but that's only because Anchor was a person.
Yeah.
You can't move the anchor from Amara to a different thing.
No, she is the anchor.
What do you guys like the best about the show? Like, which aspect of the show do you guys like the best right now? Like, I am really into, like, the Dr. Maxfield storyline and the Augustine storyline. I really like where that's going. Like, what's the...
I think I like that storyline and I can get on board with it. I need this one to wrap up first. I need Silas dead. I need Amara dead. I need Tessa to do something else. Before I can put my energy in worrying about what's happening at Whitmore, I need to stop caring about the other stuff. Because right now, it's kind of like a side story that's brewing. Mm-hmm. It kind of has my interest, but not completely.
The thing that I keep being like, huh, is about the travelers. I'm very interested in what, I mean, they come back today, they don't want them dead, and then also, Stefan's asking all these questions to Tessa about the travelers, mm-hmm. and she won't answer any of them, so I'm kind of intrigued by that. I could play devil's advocate with myself, though, because it's also taking away from where I want to focus, mm-hmm. which I know you guys disagree with, but for me, the focus of the show is on Stefan, Elena, and Damon. And or Caroline also, you know, the characters, Matt, where the hell are you? Jeremy, I love. So Bonnie, like, bring her back. This is annoying that nobody else can see her. So, you know, I am interested in the travelers, but spit it out already. You know, like, let me know who they are so at least I can invest in them or get rid of them so I don't have to keep being like, huh?
Because I absolutely agree with that.
There's a reason they're after Amara, or they want to keep Amara and not have her killed. So I'm wondering if it has to do with the other side. Does that...
And they don't want to kill Silas yet.
Yet. They don't want to kill Silas yet because I think they wanted his cure. I think they would have wanted his blood because it's the cure, but we don't know because Tessa said, you know, I'm not going to answer those questions, like certain questions that Stefan asked.
Right. I feel like Nadia's a traveler, right, Kath?
Yes.
And where did she go?
Come on. Like, you can't be like, drop the bomb, I'm your daughter, and then just have her disappear.
Disappear the next time. I feel like Catherine was always just looking for someone to love her, and then they gave her that with Nadia, and they were looking for each other forever, and now where is she? Like, they were both looking for each other.
Right. Nadia didn't know that Catherine was looking for her. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like Catherine was looking for her. It seems like Catherine looked for her and then was...
Well, I think she probably assumed she died. I mean, she didn't know she'd become a vampire, so she would have been dead if she'd stayed a human. And if I were Catherine, I would assume she would have stayed a human because...
Yeah, but when you're around for 500 plus years, I don't think you have any time to assume. I think you have all the time to actually go figure out.
Right, but she said, you know, she went back, she wasn't there. You know, Catherine doesn't care.
But she went back when the girl was 8.
I know, but Catherine has
She wasn't a vampire by then.
No, I know, but she wasn't there, and apparently she'd been moved somewhere. But the thing is, Catherine has her humanity switch off, so it doesn't matter to her.
Catherine's a human.
Well, now she is, but when she could have been searching for her, it was easier to shut that off and just think, I don't have a daughter.
Does Catherine have her humanity when she was a vampire? It was off?
I'm almost positive it was off the way she acted.
It seems like it, yeah.
I don't think it was a question. We never questioned it because just how ruthless she
was. I don't know. She kind of cared about Stefan a lot. I don't know whether she was just a bad person or whether the humanity switch was off.
But Damon's humanity switch is basically off and he still loves Elena. He always says...
His humanity switch is not off.
But when she says, I feel guilty, he goes, I don't know what that feels like.
Because that's the kind of person he is. Some people don't feel guilt.
I think he does.
His switch is not off. Stefan has turned his switch off.
Not anymore.
Not now, but...
It's just everyone.
I mean, now Stefan has all this flooding back. He might turn his switch off.
Like the lights going on and off. I mean, it's hard to keep track of. I just think I always had assumed that Catherine's humanity switch was off because of the way she acted.
Yeah, I mean, I like what's happening with her, and I really think that, you know, she will exchange with Dr. Maxfield for not spreading the rumors if he helps her, and...
Why is she so easy? Why does she think he can help?
Because he's brilliant.
Well, and she also listened to that stuff about the blood.
Yes.
You know, when she said, I found that very interesting. So maybe whatever he said led her to believe that he could cure her.
And the fact that he said that Jesse was number 6257, whatever. Yeah, like, does that mean, you know, there's a lot of other vampires that he's turned and experimented on?
And who is the Augustine vampire?
I'm saying Aaron.
No, I don't think it's Aaron.
No, it's not Aaron because Aaron walked in the building today.
Yeah, but that's a good point. Aaron was also saying how, like, everyone around him dies. Well, so is that Dr. Maxfield killing them?
Nope. I think...
It's an Augustine vampire.
I think it's an Augustine vampire, but I think it's just because they're involved. You know, when you're involved, it's... When Elena didn't know anything about vampires, people were still dying around her.
That's a good point.
We semi-find out tonight, though, something. We may not know who the Augustine vampire is, but we do know that that's who killed Megan.
Yes.
Right. So whoever
so that's
that
good
is,
to know.
Is it who killed Megan?
We finally get that answer.
I have a semi-theory that I told you guys during the show, and I could poke a lot of holes in this theory, and you guys could too. But something we have not addressed yet is how Elena's father, or Elena's father's identical twin,
or doppelganger,
was in a picture with Megan. I'm wondering, because we know Elena's parents were very anti-vampire, I'm wondering whether they had vampire blood in their system when the car accident happened, or at least he did, and maybe he didn't die, but he turned into a vampire and was so ashamed that he ran off and started a new vampire life. And somehow Megan was in that life. I mean, maybe he's the Augustine vampire. That doesn't quite make sense, because why would he kill Megan if he was in a picture with her? But I don't know.
I think there's a tie to her family. Right. I don't necessarily think her father is the vampire. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it is like an identical brother. Maybe it's something like that. Because I just feel like when somebody dies, say, you know, her father died. He was dragged out of the river dead, buried dead. So did he break out of his grave? I mean,
well, do you guys think
maybe
logistics? I don't know. Yeah. You know, how would it go unnoticed?
Do you guys think that the Augustine vampire changes? Maybe that's just the term they give it. It could be someone different.
It's possible, but I'm still very caught up with the fact that Megan looked to be about her age, about the age that she was when she died, with the picture of Elena's father. So it wasn't like a long time, you know?
And why would they bring back Elena's father
if they weren't going to?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, why even have him in the picture if we weren't going to see him? So,
well, we might not see him. He may be just a part of the story.
But then that's true.
Because he went to Whitmore and you know, was a part of Whitmore, and now she's at Whitmore. It's like a family legacy.
Okay. But
tonight, we do hear that the way you get invited to be part of the society is by being legacy. We also hear that they were thinking about inviting Elena before they heard she was a vampire. So that must mean that she is somehow a legacy of the society.
Which would only mean that her father or mother or somebody
or
was
something
was
part
in it.
Of it or is part of it.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, maybe her father stayed away because he was waiting for her to get into the society. I don't know.
My mind is just, I don't, oh God.
And how did, actually, never mind. I was going to say, Tessa, at the end of the episode, when we see her kind of giving Stefan his memories back, I was wondering how she got there, but she's a witch, not a vampire, because I was going to say, like, she didn't ask to be let in. She just let herself in that house.
Yeah, yeah. No, she can do it. I do what I want.
Yeah, she does. You know? She is a crazy lady. I mean,
I liked that part when she was like, you know, I eased your pain when I initially met you. But
is that what you would call that, though?
Taking away
she
your
took
memories.
It away. I mean, it's the same thing. I don't mean to, like, do another show.
Yeah, original.
It's like when you take away that memory, they don't feel the pain anymore. It's like when you lose a loved one and you don't remember it, it doesn't hurt. So, yeah, she eased his pain, but I think he still knows about it.
Would you guys choose to, if, like in the other show, in the originals, like Cammy's kind of mad about it,
You guys remember Klaus from Vampire Diaries? If you don't watch the originals, Klaus basically wipes a girl of her memory that she was, her brother committed murder, and he wipes her memory of the fact that he did that and it was bad, etc. So keep going. I'm sure.
So I mean, how do you guys feel about her wiping his memories? Like, would you choose that if it could be done to you?
Never.
Do you think it's important to keep those
very
memories?
Important. I think that's how you grow.
I think that's what makes a person. It's those memories. And even Tessa says that. But the thing is, you know, you look back at Elena when she did kind of go into that dark period after becoming a vampire because of all, you know, her emotions and everything like that. It seems easier, but she wouldn't be the character that we love today if she didn't have all that pain in her life.
That I want to comment on that, and then I'll answer your question again. But you just said the character we love, and yes, I'm still on Team Elena, but Elena is getting a lot of hate in the blogs, a lot of hate.
What are they saying?
They don't like her anymore.
What's wrong with her?
They don't like her.
Specifics, because I haven't seen much of this.
Here's what I've seen, that they don't like her because it's gone too far with the brothers. And I was like, well, too far was maybe two seasons ago. But they don't like the way she's acting. They really didn't like the episode we had a problem with, the episode where she went and was like, Stefan, let me remind you who you were. really didn't like that she did that, thought it was manipulative, and people are starting to have a problem with Elena, and this show is going to be royally screwed if their protagonist becomes the antagonist. So right. Vampire
well,
Diaries is going to have
to... three of them.
That's true, but...
I mean,
anyway,
if you hate her, then you're going to have to hate Delana. And there's too many Delana fans, I think, to dislike.
As well as Delana fans.
As well as Delana fans. I know. Sorry. I don't mean to only talk about the one team. I just think, you know, all of these characters have had moments where I dislike them. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is her moment.
Right. To go back to your question, though, about whether you would rather, I think that some people would, some people wouldn't. I think Damon's probably somebody who would, and that's why he does it. I mean, maybe not, but that's kind of how I just feel off the top of my head right now. Mm-hmm. I think that when you are really good and you are good because of what you've done, such as Stefan, he murdered his father, he had Damon become a vampire, you know, mm-hmm. all these things, but Stefan is good. And it's because he's gone through so much and he's overcome so much. Mm-hmm. And if Stefan didn't remember all that, he wouldn't be as good. Just like when we just saw him, yes, he did just save Elena's life. But he still, and she called him the Stefan that she remembered because it was somewhere there. Mm-hmm. Without all of those actions, he never would be the Stefan he is
right.
today.
But she's trying to make him angry. You know, she says,
who's
you,
she?
Tessa, she when she gives him those memories back, she wants to hurt, but she also wants it to be a tool for her to use him against them because she says, you held on to the hope that the two people you love most in this world would come save you, and they didn't. I did. But what he doesn't know is they were trying. I mean, at that point in time, they were actively trying to find Stefan.
Right.
It just happens that Tessa found him first, and Tessa is kind of pretty powerful.
They were only actively trying once Tessa put it in their brains that all those dreams...
Which is true, but I mean, how...
Otherwise, they weren't going to actively
try. That's a good point.
That is a good point, but I think in this world of vampires, I mean, somebody like Catherine has been running for 500 years. She disappears. If my one true love that I thought was the person for me shacked up with my brother, and I gave them my blessing, and I needed my space, I may too run away for 500 years, because when you're a vampire, it doesn't matter. It's not like they did it in a malicious way. It's not like they said, we don't love him. It was just kind of... Give him his space.
I know that. You know that.
I know, but...
Stefan don't know that.
I think he knows deep down in his heart who they are. He's never given up on Damon, and he's never given up on Elena, and I don't think he's going to now. Especially when we just basically fought the first six episodes, to get him back, like, trusting them.
Oh, tonight, the Stefan Elena moment really got to me when he did save her and kind of forgave her.
I felt it again,
I don't know. I mean, of course, then again, there's the opening moments with Damon and Elena, and they're cuddly, and I love them, but
there's
something about Stefan right now. Well, now he's not being the fresh Stefan, so it's going to be different soon, but there's just something about the new Stefan that I really appreciated.
I would love to see them together, but I just don't think I know it's like their destiny. The doppelgangers are trying always to be together, and... You know, as Tessa says, Damon's the person standing in the way, basically. I just don't see how the writers could have her go back to Stefan without turning a lot of people off. Because this, you know, it was Damon. It was Stefan, and then it was Damon, and then it was like a toss-up, and then it was Damon. It's just... I think it's impossible to be Elena and go back and forth and hurt people like that without losing us.
I agree. And I think that something was really interesting tonight that Damon said. He looks and he says to Silas, you know what? This is not fate. You literally have to move heaven and earth to be with somebody. That's not fate. That's you being a crazy person is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, obviously it's a bigger discussion, but what is fate and who is to say that they're supposed to be together and whatnot, you know?
And just because nature draws them to one another does not mean they have to be together.
And because we just talked about somebody's life experiences makes who they are, so because people are born to be together doesn't mean they grow up to be together, you know? That it could be the wrong person for you by the time they reach age 1,000.
Right. I mean, just touching back, I really liked what you said, Roxy, about how you thought that maybe erasing memories might be good for someone like Damon, because when people go through that kind of trauma, even in the real world, we talk a lot about how Vampire Diaries can relate back to the real world. When you go through that kind of trauma and you're able to rise from those kind of experiences, it's like a beautiful person comes out of that when you're able to triumph that and learn from that. But definitely Damon's character seems like someone who the first couple seasons kind of like couldn't rise.
Right.
Get past that stuff, and he kind of drowned it in drinking. But it seems like with Elena, he just like needed Elena's love to kind of help him rise.
And I think it's a beautiful thing when people help each other rise like that. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Stefan kind of Stefan so tired. That fall behind really got me. I'm going to bed at like 9 these days. But Stefan, also known as Stefan to most. I feel like he was someone who definitely rose on his own.
I don't agree. I think he had the help of Lexi. Was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Lexi.
That's a good point.
He had the help of Lexi when he was the Ripper.
And Caroline.
And he had Caroline and he had Elena. All these different stages in his life when he's really need to be dragged out of the mud, he's had somebody there to do it. And
well, doesn't every person or every vampire need somebody sometimes to kick them in the butt and drag them out of the mud?
Well, that's what I think. I think as much as we want to think we're powerful and we can all overcome things on our own, I feel like there's so many people who reject help. Like Damon would reject help.
That's a good
or
point.
Reject love. But when you let it in, that's when you do rise above. And so that's the beauty of the Vampire Diaries. They're all helping each other.
We need each other! Yeah. We need each other! I love it, team.
I think that's what it's about for this show. They all do need each other.
So what does that leave us with? If they need each other, then what about Amara? What does she need? Who does she need?
She needs to die.
She needs to leave us be.
Yeah, she needs to go away. Because
she needs to not be in the trunk of somebody's car right now.
Poor girl, though. She's like,
leave her in there.
She hasn't seen a doppelganger of herself. She's like looking at Elena screaming, like, what is happening?
Is that what happened there? I was just like so over it. I was like,
shut up, stop yelling.
The freaking trunk. I don't want to see it. I'm screaming inside because I'm looking at you, a third doppelganger.
Yeah, no, I don't think she'll last long. One, because scheduling for Nina must be horrific.
Right.
So, I mean, getting these episodes banked out, there's 20-something episodes. I don't think they can keep 3 of her around.
One of the 3 of them has to go, so.
I think it's going to be Amara solely because Amara going brings Bonnie back, kills Silas.
And we've invested way too much time in Catherine.
And we've invested too much, especially with her daughter coming on board. She's not dying. She's not going to be the one.
I think we can roll into predictions, right? And talk about what we think is going to happen.
Yeah. I had a news and gossip.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you do?
Okay. AfterBuzz TV News.
This is like a speculation slash prediction-y thing for those who are fans of The Vampire Diaries and maybe the originals. They're always tweeting and Instagramming pictures. So if you follow Kat Graham or Candace or any of them, they tweeted a picture last week. My roommate showed me because she kind of freaked out. And it is a picture of Candace and her fiance, Kat and her fiance, and then Paul and Phoebe together. So it's like now this whole rumored thing, are Paul and Phoebe hooking up? Like, are they a thing? Are they an item? Because he just got divorced or separated or something.
I don't think it's final. I think
in the process of.
Who was he with before?
She used to be on The Vampire Diaries as well. I'm blanking on her name right now. She's an actress as well. She's been on Pretty Little Liars. She plays Melissa. She was the doctor on Vampire Diaries who worked with Alaric.
I remember.
I can't bring up her name right now, but it's like not coming to my brain. But so that was a rumored thing. So that's something to look out for you originals, Vampire Diary fans. You know.
Interesting. And also, like we predicted last week, we do know that Tyler is moving from Vampire Diaries to originals.
Right.
Officially.
We saw that.
Yeah. So that was just my little bit of news and gossip. It's more gossip than news. So.
But I love gossip. I love me some gossip.
So I'm just going to predict that finally, we get rid of Silas and Amara. I really hope so next week.
Oh, baby girl.
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're there yet.
I cannot handle it, honestly.
I don't know. I mean, okay, so what do we see in previews? We see Stefan having these crazy nightmares, so that doesn't help.
Memories are back.
Right.
And so. He has to kill Silas. Stefan thinks that.
And somebody needs doppelganger blood. But we don't know why. So maybe that has to doppelganger blood maybe is what they need to get Silas and Amara off the show.
I don't know.
They need all the blood from all the doppelgangers out there in order to be whole again. I don't know.
I have no idea.
There's got to be something. I know that the universe is trying to. Here's my prediction. I'm not exactly sure where it's going, but the universe is making all these doppelgangers to make it right, to make them be together and make it right. There's got to be something wrong with there being 2 of one and 3 of the other right now.
Right.
That's wrong.
That's
so
a good point.
Somehow with all they're going to have doppelganger blood to even out the playing field of one of the doppelgangers.
But then it will be uneven again if we lose Silas and Amara.
Right, which is why I don't think that we are.
I want to meet the universe. I want to see Mr. Universe.
What?
I'm sorry. Come again?
I want to see, like, there's
Matt Mr. Universe? Because I want to see him too.
I don't know, because it's just, like,
yeah.
What's funny, though, is, like, they're like, there's, it's the universe, and, like, oh. We talk about it a lot.
Who are you, universe?
Yeah.
And what do you want with me?
Yeah. Who's okay. The universe? So,
and where's Matt?
Yeah. Is this all a book, the universe book? I don't know. And where is Matt? And do you guys think that Bonnie's going to be resurrected finally? That's also, like, been beaten for me.
I think it has to happen. We've talked about it too much for it to not happen. We already technically lost her. She already died. I don't think we can kill her again this season. So she's coming back in my mind. And I also think my previous prediction with the knife is going to be what kills Amara.
I think that's a really good one.
And so with that, that ends the other side, and that will spark something with the Travelers. So I see more controversy coming with the Travelers, even after Silas and Amara are dead, if they die.
Those are good ones.
Thanks.
Yeah, those are good.
Something like that. And I don't think Whitmore can develop fully for maybe even until after the hiatus, because there's just too much happening.
And we predict that Diane will come back.
Yeah, Diane.
Yes.
Make sure you check her out.
Yeah. Thank you, Sabrina, again, for calling in. And you guys at home can tweet her your questions. It was great to talk to her. And
she was at FR Mayfield.
SR.
SR
Mayfield.
Oh, like Sabrina. I was wondering about. Number one.
And you guys can check out my blog, Cinematic Escape, or you can tweet me all week at Cinematic Escape. And I believe Jesse's is at Jesse Janity.
Or
DJ Jesse Janity. You guys know.
Oh my God, we hear him. I have a million shows
he says
I'm
it every,
saying,
show.
Every single time. I'm
you,
like,
can, you can Google him, he's there. I know.
Where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Paige Sell.
And you can find me at Roxy Stryer.
Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Oh. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.